2021 to order, thank you, at 6:36 p.m. Okay, so would Janice, would you like us to lead in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Lynn. So we will move on to the approve the meeting minutes of June 17th, 2021. And due to our lack of quorum, we did not vote on these last month, so we need to put these into movement. Would anyone like to make a motion? Oh, sorry. Skipping ahead.
That's okay. I'm just going to, really quick, we'll do a verbal roll call. So I'll call the commissioners by name. Commissioner Davidson?
Oh, I'm over here.
I think this, this one's here.
Present.
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 Okay, thank you.
I apologize. So now we will move to approve the meeting minutes of June 17th, 2021. Would anyone like to make a motion?
I move we accept them.
Second.
Okay, and we will need to table the vote to approve the minutes of August 19th due to our lack of quorum for last month.
We have to vote on the first and second of the June.
We can't do that all together?
I vote yes.
I approve, yes.
I approve, yes. Okay, thank you, Recording Secretary Kelly. Were there any public comments received?
No public comments were received.
Okay. We'll move on to old business. Seeing none, we'll move on to new business. So now we'll have the Councilor Chamber AV training presented by Mike Crudron.
Thank you very much. Unfortunately, we are not ready for the audiovisual training for this evening. We're still working on the system, but once the system is up and running, there's several neat features. So we'll learn with these touch screens in front of us how they work. The commission will have the ability to pull up staff reports. In addition to the new AV system, we are...
Excuse me, Mike. Yes. Just the thought, weren't there 2 months worth of
meeting minutes we needed to approve?
Yeah, I was confused too.
Before we move on to the next thing, I was...
Yes, I was trying to explain that I thought we could just read that in since we were tabling it and then do the roll call. So I did read it, but I can read it again just to make sure that it's all in the minutes. I apologize for the miscommunication, but we need to table the vote to approve the minutes of August 19th due to a lack of quorum. Sorry for the interruption, but Director, if you'd like to continue.
No, thank you. And I apologize. That was my fault on the confusion. But we'll move on to new business, which is the audiovisual training. It was supposed to be scheduled for tonight. Unfortunately, we're not ready to roll that out quite yet. So sometime between now and the next meeting, we will have a training. We're not sure what shape that'll take. We might schedule some individual trainings with each of the commissioners prior to that meeting. We may be able to incorporate it into the next meeting. We'll just have to see how the training shakes out and to what level of detail will be involved in it. But we are excited about it. There are several neat features. You see the screens in front of you. We'll have the ability to watch PowerPoints and presentations directly from the screen. We are also implementing a new agenda management system called eScribe, and that will be incorporated into this. And so the commissioners will be able to pull up the staff reports right onto the screen if you choose. You'll be able to flip back and forth between the presentation and the staff report. And I believe you may even have the ability to do a split screen. So we'll have to take time and some training to learn how to do that. The voting will also occur through the screen too. So they're touch screens and we'll be able to conduct voting through there. So there's some training that we need to do. Yeah, even at the staff level, we're not trained yet. So it's all pretty and nice and neat in front of us. We've received some very, very basic training today to allow Valerie to give a presentation. And so we're looking forward to that. So so hopefully we'll be all trained by next meeting and we'll be able to utilize this great system. And so unfortunately, that was the bulk of our meeting today. We were going to spend a good amount of time training, but since we're not doing that tonight, the agenda would be fairly short. You know, had we known with enough notice, you know, we may have tabled the meeting, but we still do have some important information. But just wanted to let you know that because of that, the meeting may be a little short tonight. And that concludes my report.
Great. Thank you so much for that explanation. Next, we'll move on to matters presented by staff. The Library and Arts Center recap by Supervisor Valerie Passarella.
Good evening, Chairwoman Hamilton and members of the Commission. Tonight I'm here to give you a brief update on the happenings at the Yorba Linda Cultural Arts Center. So as you know, a dedication ceremony was held for the facility on and the library as well on November 13, 2020, and staff began conducting operations at the facility almost immediately after to assist with the community center's busy schedule of programs and events. Several classes were moved over right away in December, including the pins and needles sewing class, sugar cookie decorating class, and several youth dance classes. And since then, each quarter, additional classes have been added. The facility has been fully open to regular business hours since May, when all the city facilities returned to normal operating hours and procedures. And this past summer, the Cultural Arts Center served as a hub for summer camp programs with over 20 different art, music, theater, and dance camps held at the facility. I'll talk to you about several of our in-house programs. Our first in-house program established at the Cultural Arts Center is called Family Art Experience. It started in December, and since then it's been held on the third Saturday of each month. The series of workshops is designed for families of all ages to engage in art experiences and exploration together by trying different art mediums and learning new skills. The event typically sells out all four seatings at each workshop for a total of 32 families in attendance, or approximately 100 individuals at each event, and it has a really loyal following of repeat families that are coming out for many of the workshops. Some of the projects completed so far include ceramic painting, jewelry making, sand art, and cookie and cupcake decorating. And you can just see a few of the pictures shown here, or projects shown here. Another in-house program that we've developed is the Parent Toddler Art Time. This one is designed for children ages 2 through 5 and their caregivers, and it's typically held on the first Wednesday of each month. So far, average attendance at the event has been about 17 families per meeting, so about 60 individuals each month. And the program usually consists of a craft project, which is told along with a story, a song, or a game that relates to the theme to have some fun interaction. And some of the projects completed so far include painting, string art, making sensory bottles, and tissue paper art. And we're beginning to offer some site-wide events at the facility. The first one was held back in May, and it was the Imagination Celebration, which is a county-wide series of arts-related events that's hosted in collaboration with Arts Orange County and the Orange County Department of Education. And cities, libraries, schools all take part in the event, and they, by hosting events during the months of April and May. So ours was on May 23rd. We had 31 families in attendance or registered to attend the event, which featured live musical performances, facility tours, and then some painting projects for families to enjoy together. They painted rocks to display in gardens and watercolor paintings. And staff is looking forward to making that an annual event so that we can reach a greater audience of art enthusiasts throughout Orange County. Recently, on Saturday, August 28th, the Cultural Arts Center hosted the inaugural Chalk Art Festival and concerts. The event drew an attendance of several hundred people, and it included three demonstrations by professional chalk artists and a performance by members of the Pacific Symphony on their mobile stage through their Symphony on the Go program. Youth attendees were able to reserve a chalk space to design their own masterpiece on the Paseo, and then we had plenty of extra chalk and space to go around for any additional attendees. The event also included a craft station, lawn games, and two food vendors. And the feedback from the community has been really positive on this event, and we're hoping to offer it on an annual basis, but in a more expanded format in the future. And another really exciting thing that we've had going on at the Art Center are theatrical rentals. So we had our first theatrical rental all the way back in May, which was a production of Peter Pan that was produced by the Yorba Linda Spotlight Theater. It ran from May 6th through 9th. At the time, we were still under the state's orange tier, so attendance was required to be very low. I think it was something like 30 people per performance. But they were able to run it anyway, and, you know, the family members were able to come to of the cast. But since the state's reopening, we've had some additional shows with sold-out or nearly sold-out audiences. Yorba Linda Spotlight Theater has run two full plays, Descendants the Musical, which ran July 8th through 11th, and Little Shop of Horrors, which ran August 12th through 15th. Back in August, we had Ivy Chamber Strings, which is a Yorba Linda-based youth orchestra. They had a concert here or at the facility. And we have some upcoming theatrical rentals coming up this fall. Orange County School of the Arts will be holding their fall school play November 10th through 14th. The Orange County Concert Band will be holding their 50th anniversary concert on November 21st. And Yorba Linda Spotlight Theater will be producing Elf the Musical December 9th through 12th, and they're looking at adding a second weekend the following weekend, the weekend of the 17th. And then in January, McCoy Rigby Arts, which is another Yorba Linda-based theatrical group, they're going to be having their first play at the facility. They're hosting James and the Giant Peach January 6th through 9th, so we're excited about that. And then looking ahead at some of the things in store for the Art Center, throughout the fall, we'll be continuing to host the Family Art Experience and Parent Toddler Art Time. Beginning in January, we're going to be transitioning Parent Toddler Art Time from a monthly pre-registered program to a weekly walk-in program, thinking that that group wants more, the toddler families want a little bit more flexibility, and then it'll, you know, the extra social time for the toddler. So excited about that. We're in the process of planning a small Halloween program, which will be Saturday, October 30th. It will feature a live marionette show, pumpkin carving, and some crafts. The Virginia Deland Theater will host the contract class program's first dance recital on Sunday, December 5th, and staff is looking at making the dance recital a quarterly event. Staff looks forward to partnering with the Yorba Linda Public Library on upcoming programs and events. In December, the Art Center Gallery is going to host the winners of the Exposed Teen Art Contest. So they have different mediums like paintings, photography, and different categories. So we'll be hosting the winners for the month of December at the gallery. And then in March, the Virginia Deland Theater will host the Teen Film Festival screening that's put on by the library. So we'll be partnering with them on that. Contract class staff are actively seeking out additional instructors to expand the Art Center's art, music, dance, and theater camp offerings and class offerings. We have on deck, at least now for winter so far, we have watercolor classes coming in, a hand lettering class. We're looking to get some ceramics classes and a few other things that we're looking at. So we're excited about that and ever-expanding. Staff is also in the process of creating a strategic plan for the Cultural Arts Center, which will include a schedule of annual events, guidance for gallery displays, and plans for future theatrical productions, allowing the facility to have a balance between programs and events, all that support the arts. And some of the programs and events that we're looking at offering in the future are like evening workshops geared towards adults, things like wine and paint night, succulent arranging workshops, floral arranging workshops, a Meet the Artists series where artists could come in, potentially display some of their artwork or do demonstrations and do kind of like a Q&A session, an art theme series of the Kids Night Out program, which is really popular in the department, where we would do like maybe like a movie and crafts associated with the movie and a dinner. And then we're looking at a series of concerts that could potentially be held out on the events lawn or in the Black Box Theater. So just some of the ideas of things that we're looking at. And that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions for you if you have any.
Do any commissioners have any questions?
Well, I just had a comment. I was going to ask about a master calendar so that if there's some public theater that we might be able to attend. That's one comment. And then the other thing is I just want to congratulate you guys on just being so innovative and keeping our community safe and just building our community together here. We had the chalk art, which I attended, and you guys pulled that together fairly quickly, I heard, and it was just a lot of fun. And I had fun, my husband had a lot of fun, and it was a really all-around family fun event. And I also went to some of the concerts in the park series. Amazing. The turnout was amazing. You could tell that our community is just wanting to come out and just to get involved and meet other people. Just a testimony, one of my friends who has cancer, he actually braved it out because he just wanted to be a part of the community, but he was able to do it safely and was able to enjoy it too as well. So I just want to thank you guys because I know there's a lot of shifting that goes around, especially with, you know, all the new parameters and COVID and safety guidelines, but I just want to congratulate you guys. All of you guys did an amazing job. Summer, thank you.
Thank you.
I just had a simple question. When people go to the different plays and everything, where do they buy tickets?
Right now, it's all of the plays have been done on a rental basis. So each of the groups potentially have their own system for selling tickets. Like Yorba Linda Spotlight Theater uses like a company called Seat Yourself. So they just have like a customized URL that we can share with people to buy tickets. But that's something Commissioner Lim brought up, the idea of the master calendar. And we've been getting questions from people about like a schedule of class or theater productions we have coming up. And that's something we've never in the past like advertised rental events, but I think there might be like kind of a call for it. And whether, you know, we're directing people to the different places where they can get information and just having a basic schedule. But I think that there's definitely like a call for that. So we're looking at how we could.
Is there a website somewhere that says which events are, I'll use the example like James and the Giant Peach. You have the 6th to 9th of October, I'm assuming. If someone were to buy tickets to that, where would they go?
They'd most likely do it through the McCoy Rigby website, the individual group that's booking that books the theater.
And how would somebody know that?
That's what we're kind of looking at this point, potentially having some kind of a master calendar.
Yeah, when we first developed the policy and procedures, I don't think our goal was to advertise all the productions. It was to leave it up to each of those organizations to do that. But as Val mentioned, something we're starting to look into because people are interested in finding out what the season looks like. And then we can post that out, whether it's on the city's website, through our social media channel. So,
well, it would seem to me that if we're putting together a slideshow of events that have occurred, that means we're putting a feather in our cap for a wonderful thing, and it is a wonderful thing, but we need to let people know in advance, too, other than just the organization. I mean, if we as a city are going to take credit for here's how we're using the facility, we want to make sure everybody knows about it, not in a rearview mirror, but in advance. And I'm just surprised when I saw some of them, I didn't know we did them. And anyway, you already have that on your task list, so that's great. But what you've done so far looks wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Just a couple of comments. First of all, excellent report. You are doing a great job. I think getting back to the question that Commissioner Garvey brought up, because I think it's kind of tough because, for example, McCoy Rigby is selling, and they've sold out, then local people could also get frustrated that they can't go to the event because they've already sold it out. So maybe there's a way for a common link to be made to where everyone would go to one site. So, you know, you may want to help explore that with them, because I would think they would want to have a cooperative relationship, obviously, with us. So maybe you can explore a common link.
We can definitely look into that.
I just have a couple questions. I'm really excited about the visual arts portion of the hanging system I saw in there. Like you said, you're working on a master plan to kind of figure out what that looks like. It'd be really cool if, I know you might be bringing artists in. I love the demonstration aspect of it. That's really neat if you have that space to do it. Have you thought about partnering with the schools? I know they do like the reflections, the Placentia Oblenda, and have a display place, or give a chance for the schools to come and have a portion, because so many, you know, the display place is, or exhibiting is hard to come by, you know, and the beautiful center to focus on in your Oblenda is wonderful.
Yes, that's something we're definitely planning on reaching out to the school district about. And the Your Oblenda Women's Club also does an annual, I think it's a countywide, if not, definitely Your Oblenda, maybe even open to the whole county, but they have an art contest as well for students. So definitely want to tap into those groups.
That's exciting.
We also have a senior painting program over at the community center where they do an art show and reception every year with beautiful paintings, and so we're hoping we could display those as well.
Oh, you know that's going to bring more people through the facility.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen if a senior has their painting on the wall, they'll bring the whole family, so that's wonderful.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping.
Right. But yeah, I love the library. My kids got their own library cards. They're very excited. We go probably every couple weeks. So,
oh, beautiful.
It's beautiful. And great job on the chalk art as well. I'm actually hired one of them to do one of our ones in our town.
Oh, nice.
So I said, hey, we saw you on in Your Oblenda, loved it, and she's going to come out and work with us for our Chalktastic event in October. So thank you for sharing the resources and all the good things, because it was so wonderful. It was so cool to see and the dedication to those that lost their lives as well by one of the chalk artists. So that was really neat. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. So now we'll move over to indoor allocation update by Superintendent Jeff Roof.
Thank you, Chairwoman Hamilton, members of the commission. I'm going to talk a little bit about our indoor allocation procedure and the meeting that we held on Wednesday, August 25th. So in the last few years, we've held our allocation meetings for indoor gymnasium usage by the groups that have applied to use our gymnasium. And currently those groups are Yerba Linda Pumas, Yerba Linda NJB, and North County Sports Association. In addition to that, Commissioner Garvey attended the meeting as a representative of the Sports Advisory Committee, the representative from the commission. So just a little background on the allocation procedures and the groups that we are currently working with. Currently, Pumas is only one of our groups that's classified as a Group B user, which is a Yorba Linda resident nonprofit youth sports organization, and that they have 60% or more residency. We have two other groups that we're classifying as Group C users. That's NJB and North County Basketball. They're Yorba Linda-based youth sports organizations, and they're nonprofits, but they have less than 60% residency. So currently on the allocation guidelines, the Group B user gets priority over allocations. So we covered in the meeting, we covered the indoor guidelines and the current user group status. We also discussed the current season to allocation dates. So for this meeting, we were covering November 1st through March 31st, which it typically aligns with the group's main primary season. During the meeting, North County did voice some concerns with the allocation process, indicating that since North County basketball has over 500 residents playing in his primary league, which is approximately 40% residency, that he should have priority over the other groups just purely due to the number of residents participating. So part of that conversation, I did remind Billy Gary, who's the representative, that he could be a Group B organization if he'd simply meet the 60% residency. And I also commented that from previous discussions at the commission level, that the discussion was that residency percentage would typically or may have increased rather than decreased. So he had expressed some interest in bringing this up to either commission or council, so I wanted to remind him of that. Moving on in the agenda, staff reminded of user groups that Monday through Thursday when we allocate are typically considered as practice days and times, and Fridays and through Sundays are considered as game times for allocation purposes. And then to wrap up the meeting, we just reminded all the groups that the payment policy they have to pay in advance, and then cancellation policies if they're canceling games or practices. And we did mention, due to COVID, we have some flexibility make any adjustments to the cancellation policy just to be a little bit more flexible. So we will hold another allocation meeting after the new year for the next season. But other than that, that concludes my report, and happy to answer any questions. And turn it over to Commissioner Garvey if he has anything to add.
I don't have anything to add, but I will say you guys ran a great meeting. And it was, I think everybody understands the philosophy and got it. I don't know that North Orange County Basketball, I think he was commenting on they deserve more because of how large they were, not necessarily how many residents. I think he was just talking about how many, maybe not Yorba Linda residents, but Northern Orange County kids are participating, as opposed to, I think Puma only had like 90 or something. And I don't know that the residency was what he was saying. That's how I heard it anyway, and I could be wrong. But anyway, you guys ran a great meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Very productive.
Comments or questions? All right, then we will move on to the Meal Gap program update and continue on with Superintendent Jeffers.
Yes, thank you. Just a quick recap on our Meal Gap program. I know I mentioned this to the commission in previous meetings. We're in phase two of our Meal Gap program. We had ran a phase one with some different funding, and now we're offering this new program with some new funding. We had just over $200,000 to offer this phase two, which when we started it was a breakfast and a lunch program. We used Yorba Linda restaurants to offer freshly boxed meals at a breakfast and a lunch. We started that program July 6th, and then starting in September, we discontinued the breakfast portion, and we're only offering lunches just to try to extend the program into early October based on the funding that we have. So we anticipate probably early October we'll run out of funding. So that concludes my Meal Gap report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I just want to comment on that. I think I talked to a lot of the community members, especially the restaurateurs, and I just want to say again, I mean, I'm getting a little teary-eyed here. Just thank you for doing that for them, because it really saved them through COVID, and they're so appreciative of all of you guys. And they didn't quite know who to thank, and I said, I'll make sure that they get the thanks. But thank you so much. That was an amazing job that you guys pulled them through during COVID, especially during this difficult time. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we will move on to Wall of Fame.
I can take that one as well. The Wall of Fame program, we're going to be offering that on Saturday, October 2nd. The commissioners should have their invitations in front of them, and we're going to be inducting Coach Dean Ackland. The ceremony is going to start at 10 a.m. It's going to have start with a welcome speech by Mayor Wong, and she's going to induct Dean Ackland, and then we'll unveil the plaque for Dean, and we'll hopefully have a speech by Dean and some light refreshments. So pretty quick event, probably no longer than an hour. But we'd love to have all the commissioners there. So if you'd like to attend, just RSVP to Kelly, and hopefully we can see you there. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Superintendent Ruth. Anybody have any questions or comments about the Wall of Fame? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to the Paxton Equestrian Center project with Director Mike Coudron.
Thank you. Just a really brief report, and that is we're under construction at Paxton. Construction for the most part is going well. We had two stoppages in work by the county, which was a little bit frustrating. The county is so large. They requested a pre-construction meeting, but then the employee that was supposed to run the pre-construction meeting was on vacation, so we had to wait a week. And then when he got back from vacation, no longer needed a pre-construction meeting. And then we had to wait for another one with a different department, because we're dealing with Orange County Flood Control and Public Works. And there's a couple different departments, and the county's very big. minor delays in the grand scheme of things, a little bit frustrating, but we're on track to finish in late October, early November. So we're excited about that project. It took a long time to start, so we're happy that it's just under construction. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Seeing none, we'll move on to the Prop 68 update with Director Cudron.
This update will be even shorter. So on October 5th, we're taking a staff report to City Council to recommend that City Council authorize approval for staff to submit an application to the state to construct a basketball court at Vista El Verde Park. So tune in on October 5th, and we hope Council will give us the blessing, and we'll move forward with the application. And then once the state approves it, on to construction. But we'll give you more detailed information as we go through the process.
I'm sorry, which park?
Vista del Verde. Okay.
Great. Okay. So that was so short. We're going to let you keep talking. On to the director's report.
thank you. Few items on the director's report. So thank you very much to the commissioners for doing your park review reports. And Commissioner Lim, I think, does a lot of them. And a couple of things on her recent reports were the benches at Las Brisas needed to be replaced, and those have been replaced. And then we have tables at Vista Lamparo Park, which needed to be replaced. Those tables came in, but were damaged, and we had to send them back. The manufacturer came to get them. They're going to get us some new tables. But there's we're experiencing a lot of delays on products like that, and so we hopefully we'll get them quick. So it was just a bummer that they were damaged, but we'll send them back, and we'll see how long it takes for them to come in. And then the last item I had was we started construction of Adventure Playground this week on Monday, September 13th. A lot of demolition work has already been completed. We've got construction fencing up, stormwater prevention sandbags and wattles in place, and had a on-site construction meeting today. The contractor seems to be a very good contractor. We're using Griffin Structures for our construction management. They're also very good. They were the same project managers or construction managers for the Library and Arts Center project. So we have a good working relationship with them. Everything's off to a great start. The contractors has asking a lot of great questions and really seem to be going well. I will caution everyone, it's a tight timeline, and one of the things that could hurt the timeline is just delay in the supply chain and some of the bigger items, the play structure, the water slide, and some of those big items made out of steel that are being shipped to or from distances in are just the lead time used to be maybe, you know, 4 weeks or so. Now it's 12, 16 weeks, and it's just a puzzle piece for the contractor to figure out how to fit all those in. It's been great so far, but he's just put that word of caution out there, and I think he's ordered a lot of that stuff already, knowing that those are long lead items. If we didn't have a great contractor, you know, they might wait 3 or 4 weeks or 5 weeks and then think about that and order that stuff. So this contractor seems to be on top of it. And so I'd be happy to answer any questions, but Jeff's our project manager on that, and he's very familiar with that. So Jeff's also available to answer questions. I'll put you on the spot, Jeff.
I realize it's early on in the getting started with it, but are the contractors projecting any cost overruns? Because not only are there delays in material, but the cost of material is significantly getting larger and larger with because the supply is in such short demand.
Not yet, but we'll see. I mean, this is a project that went out to bid, so people that put in their bid are need to be held to those costs. However, you know, they could come back to us, like if concrete is significantly up right now, they could, you know, maybe make a claim later on, or if lumber makes another huge jump, although there's not a huge amount of lumber on the project. So not yet, but, you know, we're living in interesting times right now, so there may be. So we'll see.
Okay. Okay. One question. Are we going to get a drone presentation for our venture playground like we did for the Library Arts Center?
Yeah, actually working with a company to get a proposal and get some footage out there, whether they're still in video. So soon to come, yeah.
Thank you. Those were so neat. That was just a personal. Yeah. I enjoyed watching the Library Center be built, and it was really cool to see. So excited for Adventure Playground. A lot of people commented that they saw construction going on, so they're looking forward to it. So thank you for that update. Okay, so now we will move on to matters presented by the commission. If we want to start, anybody have any park review reports?
I submitted a lot of my reports already, like Mike Cujon had mentioned, but I just had one note on one of the parks. I've been having some complaints of a smoker and at Chuckers Dog Park, and so maybe you guys could give me some headers on what to do, but I already talked to him at least twice, and the third time he just gave it to me. And he's not going to stop quit smoking at Chuckers Dog Park, but maybe you could kind of guide me on what I should say or do, and I did give him a quote of the ordinance and what could happen, but he just is determined to be smoking at Chuckers Dog Park.
That's nice to know that, not nice to know, but thank you for bringing that up. And I apologize if I'm wrong, but as of now, we do not have an ordinance that prohibits parking or prohibits smoking in parks. And so that's something that if the commission wants to take on in the future, we can talk about that. It hasn't been as much of a problem. I think it used to be more of a problem, but less and less people are smoking. I think it's more the e-cigarettes or vaping. We had an isolated incident at Veterans Park a while ago, I think it's a season or two seasons ago, with Little League and a parent that was kind of smoking in the stands, and eventually Little League got them to move to the outfield, and it was resolved. So we're seeing very few confrontations like that, but as of right now on the books, it's still okay.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I apologize. I thought I read that it was an ordinance, but I'll double check my notes on that.
We do have it for buildings, so you have to smoke so many feet away from building entrances and operable windows and that sort of thing. But yeah, as of right now, and I think it's Municipal Code 1220, I don't believe it's in there.
And then I'll just continue on. Thank you so much. The parks are great, beautiful, wonderful. Been out to them, and everything that, even before I put my tracker request, it gets fixed. So thank you so much. Everyone's really on top of it. The Senior Wellness Expo, I forgot to write down the date. I just wanted to remind people that that's coming up. And then also the State of the City is October 20th. And I just want to give you some dates of some events that are coming up from our city. Thank you.
I received a call from one citizen, and I shared this with Director Cudron. Got a call requesting that the city look into adult aquatics program, specifically at Yorba Linda High School. And I don't know if that's already been checked. I was under the impression that he may have had some conversations with you, and that may have already been looked at. So I was just curious about any background on the city possibly getting involved in aquatics.
Yes, I spoke with the same resident who is very passionate about a master's swim program, and he was interested in having something at Yorba Linda High School. Typically, the high school pools are used at all available hours just through the water polo programs and swim programs. And they each kind of have an affiliated youth team involved in it have younger athletes trained to eventually get to the high school level. After I talked to the gentleman, I did contact Paul Juarez at the school district, and he confirmed what I thought is typically the pool time is booked. It's at a premium. We're down to 4 hours in the summer to run our Learn to Swim program. And so it's typically not available.
But in speaking with this resident, he's there a lot and very, very involved with the local aquatics programs, and he kind of knows what's out there. And right now, he's right there. The pool at Yorba Linda High School during the evening hours is pretty wide open. But in talking with the school district, that's kind of an anomaly right now. Prior to COVID, there was no available pool time. Post-COVID, what happened was FAST, which is a local aquatics program, downscaled their programs, and they moved back and had their primary facilities at the Janet Evans facility in Fullerton. They were running this as a satellite program, and so they moved back to Fullerton as just for one home. What's happened now is they've hired a new, I believe it's a swim coach at the high school, who's now getting the swim programming up and running, which will include a youth component, which will eventually take over that space. So for right now, there is some kind of space in the middle available for maybe the next 3 or 4 months. But long term, what I think this resident's looking for is a year-round lap swimming program. We haven't heard from too many swimmers, but we know it is kind of an issue, especially when 24-hour fitness closed for a while. There's not a lot of places to do lap swimming, and I've heard that through the community. And but we haven't had too many calls directly into our department. So that's a little bit of history on that.
I thought that was the case because what information – I didn't have nearly the depth, so thank you so much for that follow-up. But the information I've had before is at least, again, prior to the COVID, that pool was booked. And so appreciate the follow-up.
So can I ask a question on top of that? I work with some of the school board members on the facility usage. Are you saying that we do not have any, we only use 4 hours a summer, that we're not, beyond that, we're not there like 10 hours a week or anything like that?
We're there 20 hours a week, so 4 hours a day, 5 days a week for our summer program, for our Learn to Swim program. And it's been working pretty well because we also rent some pool time at Heritage Oak. And between the two, I think that we're doing a good job satisfying the needs of the community for Learn to Swim. We still do have some available space. Pool time is getting tighter and tighter, and we don't have a joint use agreement for the pool. The school district's been very good at keep, and because we're a little bit difficult, we need to run our Learn to Swim program during the day when kids can get there. You know, they'd love us to run it from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. if possible, or late at night. But we're kind of picky, and we want to run it from kind of, you know, 10 to 4, 10 to 2 in that time. That's when most parents like to do that kind of programming or go to those kind of programs. So they've been very good at working with us and allowing us to kind of keep that time frame because they don't have to do that. We don't have a joint use. And they have been, I think, fairly good to us in that sense.
Thank you.
Unrelated to what we're talking about, but I think they should take another look at these microphones and maybe put the button on the side of the user where they can see the light. I don't know if that is a simple task to turn that bracket around or do something, but it's not intuitive to keep looking over at the light on the other side. And a question for you, who is the IT person for if we're having an email issue with our city email? Who do we contact?
We could contact, there's a help desk or Larry Klingman, Jeff Johnson. If you forward it, the question to me, I could help you out with that. So
mine's a simple one, actually, but that's
okay.
Fine.
Okay.
I'll send you an email. Thank you. When we set it up initially and they gave us a very cryptic password, I set it up on my phone and my phone mirrors to my computer. I just replaced my computer and replaced my phone, and I don't have the flexibility. I have no idea what the password is. So I just need to basically reset the password and that type of thing is what it amounts to, so I can get everything working the way it's supposed to.
system is overwhelming at times.
Okay. I just want to say thank you to Jeff and Parks Manager Brad Skeen for helping out with the somebody who called about or sent an email about the trimming at their on their neighborhood, and it was taken care of within the next day or two. So thank you so much for taking care of that. The resident was very happy. He didn't think he was going through the right avenue emailing me, but it got handled. He got the answer, so he was very thankful. So thank you guys so much for that. And for park review reports, I don't know if that's specifically park review because it's at Veterans, but the scoreboards, I'm curious about the background of it, about where they come from. I know that in the past they've wanted to be updated, but it's something about, I've heard a lot of stuff about it. I said, well, let me check. It is my park, just to see, because we do hold, I mean, there's games there all the time. We do host All-Stars, that type of thing each year that West Yorba Linda League does with East Hills. And so a lot of our baseball teams are there, and I'm sure Commissioner Garvey knows all the history of it. So I'm just curious on what it is and what it would look like to get new scoreboards, if that's even possible.
So I can give you a little bit of the history. And that is the scoreboards were installed by the leagues. Okay. And so they're primarily used for the leagues. They're not a benefit to the necessarily to the entire parks. The leagues put them in, and in the past, they've been the responsibility of the leagues to update. I believe the scoreboards on the AAA field and the majors field are fairly new. I think they were redone at least within the last 4 years. And maybe Kelly would know this because she was involved in West for a little while.
They're new.
The junior senior field scoreboard is very old and didn't have as much activity on it. However, the league recently renovated that field to accommodate ages T-ball through seniors, and so it's seeing a lot more activity, and that's something that we may want to do. Now, if the commission's desire is to do things like that and replace scoreboards, we can talk about that when we go into the budget, but just understand that that leads to all the fields and all the organizations at the same time.
I appreciate that history. There, a lot of them were concerned about changing it over to LEDs because of the sun. As the sun goes, you can't see the score until the sun goes down, and a lot of those games are during the day, so they didn't know if that was a secondary option as well. So that was just a curiosity, because they said that they're, as you know, I'm sure most of you have been involved, willing to raise the funds, but what does that look like, and how, you know, to go about that in partnership with the city to make sure that it's done officially.
I was just going to comment because I was working with the league maybe 3-4 years ago, and they wanted to replace a couple of the scoreboards. I think the board at that time, just based on the dollar amount for them, decided not to. I think they were going to use the money towards other improvements. But it is a big undertaking, not only just the fact of the scoreboards, but also getting an engineer and developing, you know, footings and all of that. So I think at that point it was something that they didn't want to do. And when COVID hit, I think they were probably happy that it didn't, but I don't know what the new board's interest level might be. So
I can also give a little bit more history too, is some of the scoreboards, and even though if they've been updated, were put in a long time ago and were probably just done verbally. And back in the day, that was probably okay. But now the leagues, when they go to put in a new scoreboard, they need to be put in the right way, so they need to verify what footings were put in, and there's no building plans or anything necessarily, and so and that's where we run into a lot of problems, is they've got to start from scratch. It's not, buying a new scoreboard is actually fairly inexpensive. To put new footings in the ground is really where the expense comes in, and so I think the last time East put one in at Travis, luckily they had an engineer that was part of the league, and he volunteered his time to do the engineering work on the existing footing. So just another side note on those.
That's great. Thank you. Because I think that was similar to what I'd heard, that it was too much money for civil engineering getting involved in the footings. I'd heard that. So I wanted to make sure that was still the case. And if they did want to raise those funds, hire those engineers doing it the right way, then that's something that's on the board. And the board is turning over somebody who's been on the present for 8 years, is no longer going to be there. So they're looking for new board members. So I would like to have a great answer for them when they say, let's do it, and then funding comes in, and so all that. I love it. Thank you so much. I appreciate that explanation. So that's all that I, all the questions I might have. Anybody, any other commissioners have anything to put on the agenda or move forward? Okay. Then this meeting is now adjourned at 7:26 p.m.